Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. And then we're going to jump down to 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 3. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God has gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than what is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's pray. God, we just ask today that your word would speak, that it would speak to our hearts. Lord, and as it speaks, that we would open our hearts to listen and to receive what you have for us today. God, we ask that we would not leave this place the same as when we came in, but we would understand your word more, and that we would apply it to our lives, that we might be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the Green Bay Packers play the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field. And I know some of you might not care, but to other of us that are avid sports fans, that's kind of a big deal to us. And I never really thought I'd ever be saying that from a pulpit, and hopefully you're not going to really hate me for that, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Packers are going to win. I think most of you probably agree with me on that. I know we got a couple Viking fans in here, and I won't hold that against you, because a lot of you are related. But many of you that really know me know that I enjoy sports. I watch basketball. I watch football. I enjoy boxing, not playing or fighting boxing, because I would lose, but I enjoy watching it. I enjoy the Olympics. We just had the Summer Olympics. That was great to watch. I enjoy that competition. I even enjoy golf. I'm not good at it. I don't know if I enjoy playing as much as some. That probably doesn't line up with being a pastor, but I'm not good at it. But I enjoy watching it. Tiger Woods, you know, he's fun to watch. But of course, my favorite's football. And I would say that a lot of you here enjoy football. Of course, you know that I didn't inherit that desire to watch sports. My parents are not avid sports fans. In fact, there's only one member of my family that really kind of enjoys watching sports with me, and that's my sister Kelly. She's over there raising her hand now. I'm still working on my wife and kids. I'm kind of giving up. I don't think they're ever going to come around to my side of the fence. But the point is this morning that we like sports. And with the football season starting, I thought today maybe we could glean some insights from the game of football and how it can apply to our lives and how God can use the game to teach us something. I think it gives us an opportunity to look at being part of God's team. Being part of God's team. Today, if you're not on God's team, I'm going to challenge you to join God's team. And also today, if you're already on God's team, I'm going to challenge you to get off the bench and to participate and to do something on that team. Of course, we know in the game of football there's many aspects of the game. But today we're going to look at four different aspects: the special teams, offense, defense, and the coach. Special teams, offense, and defense, and the coach on God's team. First of all, this morning we're going to look at special teams. Now, special teams in football is very important. It's an important aspect of the game. These are the guys that do the kickoff returns, and their job is to get the ball and run down the field with the ball and get as much yardage as they possibly can get. Their job is to get them the best field position so that when the offense goes out there, it's easier for them to score. Vince Lombardi once said that football is a game of inches, and inches make a champion. Special teams take a special breed of players. They're willing to sacrifice their bodies to get that extra yard in the game. They're willing to go out there and throw themselves around to get that extra yard. Special teams are made up of players that are both on offense and defense. They're not usually just special team players, but they're players that come from other parts of the team to be on the special teams because they know that that aspect of the game is important. They do what's required to help the team, and they don't always receive the credit that they deserve. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase." If you're on a special teams for God's team, you'd be one that plants and one that waters. You're the kind of person that has a bag of seed and a garden hose, and you're out in the world planting and watering the seeds. The seeds of Christ's love and His forgiveness to those that you work with, those that you run across on the street. You're the special teams player that's willing to sacrifice your time to participate in the game because you know that your job is important to win. You understand that you might not be the one that actually takes someone from the first time they've ever heard the gospel to a point of repentance. You understand that, but you're willing to go out there and do your part. You plant the seed. You water. Maybe you water some more. Maybe someone else has planted before you and you're watering someone else's plant. But you're on the special teams of God. If you're on special teams, one thing you can't be afraid of is men. You can't be afraid of men. Vince Lombardi also said, "You must forget about being cautious or you are licked before you start." Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me." 2 Timothy 1:7-8 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." You don't have to worry about what men can do to you or say to you when you're on the special teams. It's just not important to you what men think of you. You know your job, you know your duty, and you're willing to sacrifice your body and your time to get it done. You're a warrior. You understand what your duty is. You're not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul wasn't, because you know it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If you're on special teams, you don't care who gets the credit, because you know that God is the one that gives the increase. Verse 7 in the scriptures that we read in 1 Corinthians 3 says, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You don't care who gets the credit because you know it's the ultimate goal is seeing someone saved. God is calling some of us today to be on His special teams. Special teams gets us so far. They go out on the field, they do the kickoff return, they get us the best yard as possible. And then after that, the offense comes out onto the field. The offense gets into the game, and that's the second area we're going to look at today, the offense. Now, the offense is full of high-profile players. You have the quarterback, you have the wide receivers, you have the running backs. The offense is part of the team that usually gets to score most all the points. They're the kind of guys that you want to be out on the field, especially the Packers. I mean, give me a break. They got Brett Favre, Amon Green. What more could you want in an offense? They're the kind of guys that when they step onto the field, they have the confidence. You're just like, all right, it's time to go. We need 7 points. That's the kind of offense that God is looking for. The offense usually designs plays to drive the ball down the field and to score a touchdown. God's team also has an offense. And he wants that offense to step out onto the field. And that field is the harvest field. Luke 10:2 says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." John 4:35 tells us, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already of harvest. And he that reapeth receive wages, and gather fruit unto life eternal, that both ye that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." God today is trying to recruit some good offensive people to join in the reaping of the harvest. The special teams got us so far, but it's time for us to get the ball into the end zone. In fact, the ball right now, in my opinion, is sitting on the goal line. It's waiting for someone to punch it in. It's time now that we no longer waste time or be timid. Vince Lombardi again said, "The goal line is the moment of truth. There's no room for a timid person there. Now is the moment of truth to reap the harvest. It is ripe and ready." You win games with aggressiveness and precise execution, not gimmicks. You know, we don't need special gimmicks to score on God's offense. We already have the game plan. We have it laid out. We know what we're supposed to do. It's just a matter of being aggressive and executing the plan that God has set out for us. That plan, hopefully we all know. It is Christ and Him crucified. It is salvation through Jesus only. It is through Him that we have repentance and remittance of sin, that we can be made clean. Today, I believe that God is calling some of you to be on His offensive team. The third area of football that we want to examine today is the defense. Now, the defense is the part of the team that keeps the opponent from driving down the field and scoring a touchdown also. A team is only as good as its defense. You see, you can score all day long with your offense, but if your defense can't stop the opponent, there's still a chance that you're probably going to lose the game. Vince Lombardi also said, you never lose a game if your opponent doesn't score. How true is that? If you can keep your opponent from scoring or gaining yardage, you can win all the time. The defense also has a game plan, and they know the enemy and his schemes. They know the proper way to tackle, a way to intercept a pass or knock down the ball. They defend. On God's team, there's also a defense. And they understand, we understand that we do not battle against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, 12 through 18. Why don't you turn there with me? Ephesians 6, 12 through 18. On God's team, we don't battle flesh and blood. 12 through 18. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and have ye done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can you see it now? God's defense. They're dressed for battle. They are prepared. They are ready to go. They're out on the field, ready to defend. But not defend. They're so appropriately prepared that they begin to drive the offense, the opponent, backwards. I mean, you've seen football games before where, you know, the offense is supposed to be going towards the other side, and the defense is so good, they're driving them backwards. That's the kind of defense that God's team has. That's the kind of defense that God wants on His team. Those that are prepared for battle, those that will drive the enemy back. Not those that are content with allowing the enemy to move forward, but the kind of defense that drives the enemy back against its own goal line. They're prayer warriors. They're part of the team that you might not necessarily see very much, but you're real sure glad that they're on your team. Because they're the kind of people that you want sitting next to you when you're going through a hard time. They're often on their knees fighting some of the worst battles against the enemy. God's team understands the enemy. We are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. The defense understands the enemy's game plan, and they understand the enemy's schemes. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The defense understands that the devil is our adversary, and he tries to destroy us. You know the devil doesn't fight fair? I don't know if you figured that out yet, but he don't fight real fair. He tries to hold us back. He tries to cheat us. He tries to hurt us. He's our tempter. He tries to outwit us. He tries to deceive us. He tries to torment us. He tries to trick us. He tries to put us in bondage. Do you know that ultimately the devil would like us to switch teams? He don't like the fact that we're on God's team. He ultimately would like us to switch teams. And if you haven't chosen a team yet, I got a good feeling you're already on the devil's team and you might not even know it. But the thing is he offers these contracts. You know, football players get paid a lot of money. Well, the devil offers contracts too. And in those contracts, he has huge upfront signing bonuses. And those things look pretty good, you know. Hey, if I can get this or I can get this, the problem is we forget to read that fine print at the bottom that says it's going to cost you your whole soul, everything that you ever have wanted or had. To play on the devil's team, you might get a big signing bonus. You might be happy for a while, but in the end comes punishment, eternal pain, and destruction. That's what being on the devil's team has for you. On God's team, we must understand that we are fighting against the enemy, and he battles against us. Satan doesn't fight fair, what, right? Well, if Satan's got his whole team on the field, then we need to have our whole team on the field. It doesn't help any if Satan's fighting us with everything he has, and we've just got a few people fighting back. You know, how can you gain progress when all you're doing is trying to defend yourself? We need, if Satan's fighting with his whole team, it's only logical that we would fight with our whole team. Vince Lombardi also said, "Two or three plays in a game spell victory or defeat. You never know when that play is coming." I don't know if you've noticed in life, but you might be going through life and things are going good for you. I mean, you're having victory after victory. And you start to think, maybe the devil's giving up on me. You know he hasn't given up on you. He's fighting. He's trying hard. And when we're least expecting it, he's throwing those cheap shots in to try to slow us down, to try to get us to go backwards. He wants to defeat us. He hasn't given up on you. He's looking for new ways to try to punish us or defeat us because we're on God's team. We must defend and be ready. Put on the full armor of God, the word says. We know that Satan ultimately is defeated. But you know what? I'd rather he didn't gain any ground. I'd rather he lost every battle in between now and the time where he is ultimately defeated at the end of the days. God is calling us today to join his defensive team. Fourth area of football today that we're going to examine is the coach. In football, the coach is chosen by the owner to lead his team to victory after victory and ultimately to win the Super Bowl. The coach helps train, motivate, equip the owner's team so that they can be prepared for the game. One of the most famous coaches ever is Vince Lombardi. You've heard me quote him already, and I got a good mugshot of him up there. He's a good-looking guy. In the 9 years that he coached the Green Bay Packers, he led his team to 5 NFL championships. That was before the Super Bowl was even there. And then he led them to win Super Bowl 1 and 2. In Green Bay, he had a coaching record of 98 wins, 30 losses, and 4 ties. And he didn't start out with a winning team either. In his first year, he turned a one-win team with 10 losses and 1 tie into a 7-5 team. In the very next year, he made the championship game. See, Vince Lombardi was an innovator, motivator, and a perfectionist. Coaches are very important to a football team. They help them train and to practice to get ready for the games. Coaches on God's team also have an important role. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ." God uses coaches to train and to motivate for the perfecting of saints. We have at this church an excellent coach. I know that you all would agree with me. Since he's sitting in here, you better. Each week, we're trained in the ways of God. Together, we study the playbook. What's that playbook? It's God's Word. He understands and stresses to us that we must defeat the enemy and save the lost and live victorious. And to do that, we must know our playbook. The pastor and church leadership understands that we are part of a priesthood of believers, that we are all called to be on God's team and to be active in one way or the other, another. Coaches understand that we must train. Football players build their bodies. You know, a lot of them are really buff. They're all really buff. The thing is they're not necessarily born with that. They might have some of the genes to get that way, but they work out hard. They pump iron. They practice. They are in the weight room getting ready for the game. We too must train, study, grow our gifts, and grow in the Spirit. That's why we have services 3 times a week. That's why we have Sunday school. It's a time in which we can prepare and set a game plan and focus our attention at hand. You know that the players, they get their playbook and they read through it and they study that. But likewise, they have practices on the field in which they can go through those plays and practice them over and over again until it becomes second nature. And that's what we need to do with God's Word. Practice it, study it, learn it until it becomes second nature. Not even second nature, first nature in our bodies and in our minds and in our hearts. It's where we develop teamwork and discipline so that we might be a vessel that we can honor God, sanctified, and meet the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. I don't know about you, but I would like to meet the Master's use. I would like to have a purpose. I would like to do what God wants me to do. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God is calling you today to join his coaching team. And I would just ask that you would respond to one of these today. You know, ultimately, we want our endeavors to last the test of time. The NFL has its Hall of Fame. You know, they have Curly Lambeau, Don Hudson, Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr, John Elway, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton. All these are in the Hall of Fame. And ultimately, we want our endeavors to stand the test of time. 1 Corinthians 3 that we read tells us that every man's work will be manifest, and that fire will try that work to see if it has eternal significance. Will your work, will my work, stand the test of time? Will it have eternal significance? Are we doing the things that make an eternal difference? Or as I worked with this one guy, and every time something would go wrong, he says, it's just going to burn anyways. You know, is the stuff we do, is it going to stand the test of time, or is it just going to burn anyways? God really doesn't ask that much out of his team. He really just asks us to be faithful. A lot of times we think that we need to change the world ourselves. So then we kind of give up. We're like, we can't do it anyways. Let's just give up. But God really just wants us to be faithful. That's the role he asks of us. He was called Sweetness. And I'm almost done. I know we're getting late here. But I want to tell you a little story. He was called Sweetness. But to defenders, does anybody know who Sweetness is when it comes to football? Pastor. Anybody else? Come on, raise your hand. No? Walter Payton is called Sweetness. But to defenders, he was anything but sweet. He was an unstoppable force running with the ball. Walter's biggest assets on the field were his leg strength and incredible balance. He could run over a would-be tackler with the force of a freight train. Or he might simply hit a defender hard enough to bounce off and to go around him. He also had a straight arm that could make a defender fall flat on his face and send him flying across the turf. Walter Payton's physical style of play made his durability an incredible accomplishment. He missed just one game in his entire 13 NFL year career, which can be credited to his fantastic physical condition and work ethic. He always came to training camp in better shape than anyone else. He had a very disciplined training regimen that included running steep hills located near his home. No doubt this type of training helped develop his leg strength and the quick burst that helped him to break away from defenders. Walter Payton was drafted by the Chicago Bears in 1975. He ran for 679 yards his rookie year and at least 1,200 yards in 10 out of the next 11 seasons. He finished his career as the all-time leading NFL rusher with 16,726 yards on 3,838 attempts. You could make an argument that Walter Payton was one of the greatest NFL players. But what made Walter Payton great? Was it his talent? Sure, that made him great. He had a lot of talent. Was it his strength? Very strong, very talented. What stands out to me is his work ethic. He came into camp in better shape than everyone else. He prepared for the games. He trained hard. And then when it came to the games, he was faithful. You know, 16,726 yards, if you lay that out, most all of us could run that distance. It's not really that far. But when you think about it, and I don't think any of you have calculators, but if you divide that by the 3,838 attempts, that means he was knocked down every 4.36 yards. Now that makes it a little bit harder to do. Imagine running 4.36 yards, getting knocked down, not just knocked down, but tackled hard, getting back up, running 4.36 yards, getting tackled, getting back up, running 4.36 yards, getting that down, tackled, getting back up, running 4.36 yards. He was faithful. You know, I think that he probably could have sat on the bench part of the time. He could have missed a game or two here and there, but he chose not to. He was faithful to his team. You know, God wants us to be faithful to his team. Obviously, we know that football is a game, and life is not a game. Life is very important. Football isn't. Life is forever. Football isn't. If we know this, then as members of God's team, we should be in there on the front lines and participating and getting off the bench and joining the special teams, the offense, the defense, or in the coaching area. Whichever God place that God has put us in, we need to be active, not bench warmers in that area. And that's my call to you today, if you're a member on God's team, to be active, to be on the front lines, to be part of the special teams, planting or watering, to be on the offense, harvesting God's harvest that he has ready for us, or defense, fighting back the enemy, or being a coach, training and leading others to do those specific tasks. That's my call to you today. And then I have another call. Some of you may be sitting there and you're not sure if you're on God's team. Maybe you've never been presented with it that way. Maybe you've never thought about it that way. I want to give you an opportunity today to be on God's team. Picture it this way. God is standing at the draft room podium. And he's standing here and he's saying, I want you as my number one draft pick this year. I want you to come play for my team. I want you to be on my team. I want you to participate with me. He wants you so bad that he sent Jesus Christ to recruit you. And Jesus said to you, I will sacrifice everything that I have and my very life so that you can play and be on my team. And Jesus did that. He laid down his life for you, for your sins, by dying on the cross. You know, if this was a professional football arena and the draft is going on, you'd be foolish to deny or to not accept a contract like that where you could make millions of dollars or do whatever. This is even more important than that. This is being participating in a team that lasts forever. This is not a fad. This is not money. This is God's team that lasts forever. So today I want to know, is there anyone here that has never joined God's team? Would you say, just by raising your hand, I want to be part of the rest of you guys. I want to be on God's team. I want God to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I want to participate in the way that God desires me to participate. If you'd raise your hand and say, that's me today, I would just like to pray with you. You've never joined God's team before, but today you desire to join God's team by asking him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. Then I'm going to believe today that we're all on God's team. And if we're all on God's team, let's get off the bench. Let's participate. You know what? I love sports. I don't love sports more than I love God. And if we can love sports and use it as an analogy to show us what we need to do to participate in God's kingdom, then we're going to do it. So I want you to think about that today. What part of God's team are you on? And if you're only on one, think about joining too. I know a lot of you got the talent to move from special teams to coaching or from offense to defense. Think about that today as you go home.